22:55. I conceive of the totality as a vast, slowing, spinning globe, which each time it revolves is more completed. This is an accretional process. It is alive. It is driven by its own mind, and it includes everything. And despite its unitary nature, it is infinitely complex. And I mean infinitely, facet upon facet, calm and combination of parts without repetition or end. And in a certain beautiful sense, it, like a top, makes a musical sound, a chord of fixed intervals. But this must be a metaphor for geometric ratios, such as the Fibonacci constant. The sound, the ratios, are an exponent of joy, Freude, a triumph through, by, and over the dialectic which brings it to completion. It has harmonized everything into its unitary complex self. 2272. Note: these fragments represent early runs at the material of Valis. End note. The satellite, Valis, fires information down to them? It does more than that. It controls them. It can override them. Did you notice the pot, Kevin said, on Brady's desk? The little clay pot, like the one you have, Fat? No, Fat said. I didn't. I didn't the first time I saw the film, Kevin said. The pot shows up several times. It shows up in different places, in the Lamptons' home, in the living room. And once on Ferris Fremont's desk, I said. Kevin said, it also appears as a pitcher full of water on the parched field when the film opens, off to one side. You only notice it subliminally. A woman is dipping it into a creek. It seemed to me that the Christian fish sign appeared on it once, I said. No, Kevin said. I thought so the first time. This time I looked closer. You know what it is? The double helix DNA molecule in the form of a repeated design. We remained silent for a time. And then I said, DNA memory, gene pool memory. Right, Kevin said. He added, at the creek, when she fills the pitcher, there's a man fishing. It flashes just for an instant, but it's there. The early Christians, the real ones, can make you do anything they want you to do and see or not see anything. That's what I got out of the picture. But they're dead. Yeah, if you believe in the reality of time. 2274. What did he intend to do when Sherry died? Maurice had shouted that at him in the form of a question. Would he die too? Not at all. Fat, pondering and writing and doing research and attempting to salvage his own life, had decided to go in search of the Savior. He would find him, wherever he was. This was the mission, the divine purpose, which Zebra had placed on him. The mild yoke, the burden light. Fat, a holy man now, would become a modern-day magi. All he lacked was a clue, some hint as to where to seek. Zebra would tell him eventually. The clue would come from God. This was the whole purpose of Zebra's theophany, to send Fat on his way. Our friend, upon being told of this, asked, will it be Christ? His Roman Catholicism showed in asking this. It is a fifth Savior, Fat said enigmatically. That's why you thought you saw the first sign, because you picked up the sight of the man fishing, saw it subliminally. 2281. Tractate, Cryptica Scriptura. Note: this is the first explicit mention in the exegesis of the Tractates Cryptica Scriptura, the treatise of hidden writing published as an appendix to the novel Valis. From the exegesis, it is clear that the raw material that Dick would shape into the tractates was already in existence before the novel itself was written. Some entries of the published tractates are direct quotations from the AI voice, including 7 and 9. But beyond these, the published document does not quote the exegesis so much as refine it, showing, as do subsequent entries, that Dick clearly thought of the tractates as a distinct document designed for public consumption and, he no doubt hoped, illumination. Dick struggled with how to integrate the text into his novel, as well as how to think about their relationship. Once the manuscript for Valis was completed, a few portions of the tractates were in turn cited in the exegesis. P.J. Endnote. 2282. Parsifal. Here time turns into space. Is this what I saw in 374? Time had either rolled back or aside or departed, a dysfunction, and I saw an augmented, i.e., enormously greater space. The realm of the sacred? Is this how death is overcome and eternal life bestowed? By turning time into space? And through space, one can move in any direction. So if you left the mundane world and entered the sacred lower realm to upper, maybe this is what you'd notice. Time, whatever that might be, turning into space. Vast dimensions as with the void which I experienced. Pure, total space. My noetic hypnagogic vision of Willie Mays in the 54 series did not show his throw, the ball thrown, i.e., the heroic efforts. It showed the catcher at home plate and the ball received, i.e., success, not just heroic effort, but success. Vollbracht. The tractate received in New York? The emphasis shifted from the throw to the receiver. And it also says, my work, the throw, is over. I did my part, successfully. The ball which I threw so far has been caught. I can rest now for a while. I'm sure this was the message, not just the throw, the effort, but the catch. It's out of my hands now. As I later said in the mailgram, you market it. It's in your hands. 2286. In the tractate, I have put forth a theoretical framework in which the manifestation, theophany of Zebra, Christ, not only comes into existence by logic, but by necessity as a confirmation of the framework, worldview. The framework explains the epiphany, who, what doing, why, and the epiphany verifies the framework. Perception of the epiphany and cognition, the creation of a theoretical framework, dovetail, a masterful achievement. And experience. It took me 4.5 years to construct the 3,000-word framework. How the tractate could be used regarding Valis. There is a secret or quasi-secret religious group who holds to the theology of the tractate, and the protagonist experiences the epiphany which I experienced, i.e., true, not cargo cult Christianity. It is secret, but contacts the protagonist. For fictional purposes, it could be the Church of Simon Magus, and Bruno, and Paracelsus, etc. Or it could expose the establishment churches as being those of Simon Magus. Either way would do. Or it could go back to Asclepios and Julian the Apostate. The novel is set, after all, in an alternate world. What about this? Simon's church is the legal approved one, and Christianity is still as it originally was, religia illicita. Maybe it's not illegal, just hidden, and the New Testament is non-existent now. The letters and gospels either never got written or were destroyed or lost, with maybe the exception of the fourth gospel. And Paul remained Saul and didn't experience his conversion and continued to persecute Christians with apparent success. and joined Simon, became a Simonite, Simonians. And Jesus is historically theologically known as the pretender or imposter. What is missing from the tractate is the info that the true Christian church is still a hidden and underground secret church. In Vallis, Jesus could be as obscure an historical figure as Simon is to us. Mentioned once in the Simonite texts, as Simon is in Acts. An heretical precursor to the real Messiah, Simon. In Vallis, this is presented as an alternate world which branched off almost 2,000 years ago. But actually it, Vallis, and Simonism, is our true world. Here is a good touch. Beethoven was a political figure, not a musician, who surfaced as a member of true illegal Christianity, and it is recognized that he was black. I feel a lot of anxiety writing this down, because I am really saying this is true. The establishment churches are covertly the Church of Simon Magus, and Christianity is totally secret in our world. But the Christians in Vallis hold to the theology and views of my tractate, tracing their religion back through Elijah, to Moses, to Akhenaten, to the Dogon, to the three-eyed invaders from Sirius. Note: these comments show the unmistakable mark of Robert Temple's The Sirius Mystery, 1975. End note. It is known as a black African religion. Simon, a la Klingsor, has cast a spell on the world. His wizardry remains. Does he in secret? Yes. The Christians teach, regarding the tractate, that a long spurious time interpolation was stuck in, specifically by Simon. If all this is so, it is very scary. 2295. We, all creatures, are the immortal man, and, as I put forth in the tractate, that immortal man is not a man at all, but living information. 22110. My statement in the tractate that the anguish of the one over the death of the female twin pervades the cosmos to its meanest level, but will be turned to joy when hyperuniverse one divides, amazingly fits the New Testament, Paul's or Christ's himself. Statement that the universe is like a woman in birth pangs, whose suffering now later will turn to joy. Incredible similarity. Of course, Parmenides says form 2, yin, doesn't really exist. Empedocles' strife. The woman is dead. Part 3. Folder 9. Note: the first 6 pages of Folder 9 consist of manuscript pages from Vallis. Coming thousands of pages into the exegesis, they cut like a knife. Where did this voice come from? One almost expects the handwriting to be different, but it isn't. Equally disconcerting is that in the midst of these passages that end up almost word for word in the published novel, Dick breaks into exegesis again to briefly explore one of his multiple time track models of 374. Then it's back to that voice. In future exegesis entries, Dick will sometimes treat the novel as little more than a vehicle for the tractates, which he grants the authority of Scripture. But the novel gives us much more than that, as this excerpt shows, a self-reflection by the author on his own hyperbolic, heated imagination that is both ruthlessly realistic and sympathetic, even tender, toward the lost soul he understands himself to be. It reminds us that in the end, what we have here, all gods aside, is a human being just trying to right himself into a better place. P.J. End note. December 1978. 9-1. Fatt later developed a theory that the universe is made out of information. He started keeping a journal, had been, in fact, secretly doing so for some time. His encounter with God was all there on the pages in his, Fatt's, not God's, handwriting. The term journal is mine, not Fatt's. His term was exegesis, a theological term meaning a piece of writing that explains or interprets a portion of Scripture. Fatt believed that the information fired at him from time to time was holy in origin and hence a form of Scripture. One of his paragraphs impressed me enough to copy it out and include it here. Summary, etc. Tractate. Fatt developed a lot of unusual theories to account for his contact with God and the information derived therefrom. One in particular struck me as thought-provoking. It amounted to a kind of mental capitulation by Fatt to what he was undergoing. This theory held that, in actuality, he wasn't experiencing anything at all. Sites of his brain were being selectively stimulated by tight energy beams emanating from far off, perhaps millions of miles away. These selective brain site stimulations generated in his head the impression, for him, that he was seeing and hearing words, pictures, figures of people, in short, God, or as Fatt liked to call it, the Logos. But really, he only imagined he experienced these things. They resembled holograms. What struck me was the oddity of a lunatic discounting his hallucinations in this sophisticated manner. Fatt had intellectually dealt himself out of the game of madness while still enjoying its sights and sounds. In effect, he no longer claimed that what he experienced was really there. Did this indicate he had begun to sober up? Hardly. Now he held the idea that they, or God, or someone, owned a long-range, very tight, information-rich beam of energy focused on Fatt's head. In this I saw no improvement, but it did represent a change. Fatt could now honestly discount his hallucinations, which meant he recognized them as such. But, like Gloria, he now had a they. It seemed to me a Pyrrhic victory. Fatt's life struck me as a litany of exactly that, as, for example, the way he had rescued Gloria. The exegesis Fatt labored on month after month struck me as a Pyrrhic victory, if there ever was one. In this case, an attempt by a beleaguered mind to make sense out of the inscrutable. Perhaps this is the key to mental illness. Incomprehensible events occur. Your life becomes a bin for hoax-like fluctuations of what used to be reality. And not only that, as if that weren't bad enough, you, like Fatt, ponder forever over these fluctuations in an effort to order them into a coherency, when in fact the only sense they make is the sense you impose on them, out of the necessity to restore everything into shapes and processes you can recognize. The first thing to depart in mental illness is the familiar, and what takes its place is bad news because not only can you not understand it, you also cannot communicate it to other people. The madman experiences something, but what it is or where it comes from, he does not know. In the midst of his shattered landscape, Fatt imagined God had cured him. Once you notice Pyrrhic victories, they seem to abound. Either he had seen God too soon, or he had seen him too late. In any case, it had done him no good at all in terms of survival. Encountering the living God had not helped to equip him for the tasks of ordinary endurance, which ordinary men, not so favored, handle. Men and the world are mutually toxic to each other, but God, the true God, has penetrated both, penetrated man and penetrated the world, and sobers the landscape. But that God, the God from outside, encounters fierce opposition, frauds, the deceptions of madness, abound and mask themselves as their mirror opposites, pose as sanity. The masks, however, wear thin, and the madness reveals itself. It is an ugly thing. The remedy is here, but so is the malady. As Fatt repeats obsessively, the empire never ended. In a startling response to the crisis, the true God mimics the universe, the very region he has invaded. He takes on the likeness of sticks and trees and cans and gutters. He presumes to be trash discarded, debris no longer noticed. Lurking, the true God literally ambushes reality and us as well. God, in very truth, attacks and injures us in his role as antidote. As Fat can testify to, it is a scary experience to encounter this. Hence, we say, the true God is in the habit of concealing himself. 2,500 years have passed since Heraclitus wrote, "Latent form is the master of obvious form." Fat's obsessive idea these days, as he worried more and more about Sherry, was that the Savior would soon be reborn, or had been already somewhere in the world. He walked, or would soon walk the earth once more.